It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, and we got a very special episode as we're going to preview the Sun Belt Conference, being the southern part and from the south, or at least from LaGrange. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, what's up, dude?
What's going on, David? Going to talk a little football in the deep south tonight with the Sun Belt, the SEC, from the Carolinas all the way to Texas.
That's right, and also from the big city of China Grove, and that will be North Carolina, Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
So, Dave, hope y'all are having a great week and looking forward to getting to Greenville.
David, you're almost, Bubba, you're almost in Sun Belt country there. You're not too far from Boone.
No, not at all. It's right at 2 hours to the high country and App State. So,
And how far are you from Columbia?
Columbia, something similar.
So you're right there in the heart of SEC.
Yeah, that's one of the things when the Pirates play in Columbia. Obviously, that's about an hour closer or so, something like that, than making the trip to Greenville. So,
all right.
So you got to do it.
So what do we start with, guys? Are we going to start with the Sun Belt, or are we going to start with the SEC?
Do Sun Belt first.
All right.
Let's do it. And I'm really excited about the Sun Belt. It's one of my favorite conferences because, there's a lot of good football. And I feel like that they don't get the love that they always deserve. And so, you know, I love underdogs, being a fan of the Pirates. And I think this year it looks like you've got several great teams. But the ones that come to mind, the perennial favorites of, I would say, Appalachian State, Troy, and Arkansas State, right?
Those are the usual suspects, yeah. I think Troy this year, App State, new quarterback. I think Troy, after last year, what did they win? How many games did they win last year, guys? 10 or 11?
Yeah. Troy went 11-2.
Yeah, beat LSU. I think you got to have Troy as your favorites. But, yeah, Appalachian State and Arkansas State will be right there. I'll tell you somebody else to look out for, and we'll get into a little more deep dive with each team here in a minute. But look out for Louisiana Monroe. They're doing a good job in his first year down there last year, and they have everybody and their brother back for his second year. He was very successful at the FBS ranks. This will be his second year there as head coach. And I think Monroe will surprise some people this year.
All right, I like that. You guys are. I know that we all try to do our homework, and with that, that's a another example of a team that for me to look out for, because they actually, you know, that's the thing about this conference is that there's a lot of people that casual fans that may not know, but there's a lot of good football in the Sun Belt Conference, and there are a lot of teams that are right there. I mean, they're with, I know, Group of Five, but there are teams that you could argue that could probably, they would match up well against us this year, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't think we'd stand a chance against Troy this year. Most years, yes, we would. Appalachian, I mean, God knows we've had wars with them when they were at FCS.
Right.
Arkansas State, year in, year out, is competitive with anybody. Lafayette, you know, they kind of trended downward, but they went through a really good run too. You know, we lost to them in the New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah.
We meaning East Carolina, for any Sun Belt fans that are listening that aren't familiar with our podcast, we're all three Pirates. The league is, I think it's a lot better over the last 5 years than it used to be. You know, Georgia Southern had a good run when they first moved up and joined the Sun Belt. They're a little down right now, but hopefully they'll get that thing turned around. They got a new head coach. Georgia State last year, their first year head coach.
Sean Elliott.
Yeah, Sean Elliott, who East Carolina fans may remember was a candidate when we hired Scotty Montgomery. Year number one, he takes them to a 7-win season and a bowl win. they got an interesting opener down there at Georgia State against a really good FCS team in Kennesaw State.
And you're talking about that turnaround that Sean Elliott and the Panthers had last year. And one of the things after they lost their season opener to Tennessee State 17-10 and then got absolutely blitzed the next week 56-0 up at or in Happy Valley against Penn State, that's when they started to hit their stride and they won three straight and then I guess it was something like 6 out of 7. So that really surprised me after losing to Tennessee State, because they were certainly not really the upper echelon of the FCS by any means, and not like Kennesaw. So that's certainly an intriguing matchup, like you say.
It is, and hats off to Sean Elliott and his coaching staff last year. When you lose to a bad FCS program and then get your butt handed to you, you know, by Penn State. Of course, there's no shame in that, but nonetheless, you're 0-2, one embarrassing loss, and then a bad loss to a good team. You know, and you have a history of losing there at Georgia State. That was a hell of a job by Sean Elliott and that coaching staff turning things around last year, and a hell of a job by the kids on not giving up after those two losses and buying in.
And another thing about those wins that Georgia State had, that's what, of course, one of them was in the bowl game when they won the Cure Bowl against Western Kentucky. But 5 out of those 6 regular season wins, guys, they came on the road. So even more impressive. Even more impressive.
And, guys, I know that we have a huge show tonight. And, Bubba, I want to, before I forget, too, we've got a lot of great guests, right?
Yeah, we do. That's what we're going to be talking with App State play-by-play man Adam Witten. And then we will also be talking to Matt Stoles, who's the play-by-play voice of the Arkansas State Red Wolves.
All right. So do you want to go to Adam now?
Yeah, let's go to Adam Witten, voice of Mountaineers.
All right. We're going to talk some Mountaineer football, a team that we know in North Carolina very well, at Appalachian State. And let's go to him right now. We're on the Sports Objective Podcast, another great guest from Mountaineers, the play-by-play voice of Appalachian State, Adam Witten. Adam, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, you got it.
Wanted to talk to you about Appalachian State, and I know big football season coming up. Tell us a little bit about now we're in the preseason. Can you give us some kind of highlights of the team and the expectations this year?
Well, the one thing that I've learned in my short time doing games at App State, this will be my third year, is that expectations are always high, which is remarkable to say for a program that is not far removed from its days as an FCS member. They've only been a member of the Sun Belt since 2014, and they've had remarkable success over that time. They're coming off back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles, 3 consecutive bowl wins. No team has ever played in and won 3 bowl games in their first 3 years of being bowl eligible. So expectations are very high. And I think it really goes to show what this program has built as far as something that's built to last, because there's a lot of star power and a lot of sexy names gone from last year's team. 4-year starters all over the place at quarterback, on the offensive line, all across the defense. A lot of big names that have been super productive in helping to lead this run of success that the program has had that are gone, and a very small senior class. This team has 11 seniors on its roster, which is a very small number in college football. Yet, we just came off of Sun Belt Conference Media Days not that long ago, and the team was still picked to win the division in a league that's now splitting into 2 divisions. In an East division with a team like Troy also in there, that's another power in the league. App State was picked to win the division and play in the first ever conference championship game. So when you take all of the factors that this team has that, at least on paper, you would think kind of work against them in having the same kind of success, a lot of people still believe that this team is incredibly talented, and they are, because while they are younger than they have been in years past, there is so much talent across the board, and they've been recruiting at a very high level since they've had success at the FBS level. And that recruiting talent has started to mature, develop, and have become contributors. They've had true freshmen the last few years that have been immediate contributors on the team, and I don't think this year is going to be any different. So, yeah, expectations are very high. Very excited to get the season started because, you know, the success has been there in the past, and they certainly expect it to continue regardless of who's coming back and who's not.
I know that one of the reasons you've already mentioned his name for the success is an incredible coach in Scott Satterfield. What are your thoughts about him?
He is, you know, I've worked in college sports for a while. I haven't worked at App State in this role for a long time, but I've worked around coaches in college sports for a long time in doing this. He is by far the easiest person to work with. He is so down to earth and just, he's chummy, he's friendly, he's relatable, and he is about as selfless as they come at a head coaching position. You know, there's a lot of people that in this profession that come in with egos and a certain attitude about, you know, they try to be maybe an authoritative figure, and he is that, but he does it in a much more calm manner. So I can sit here and I can tell you and people listening things that they probably already know about him, which is the success that he's had. And if you dig a little bit on him, you'll know that he's an App State grad. He played quarterback at the school. So he bleeds black and gold. But from my experience, the thing that I love about working with Coach Satterfield is, despite all the success, despite the things that he's accomplished in his career, which, you know, he's still very young, he's still in his mid-40s, he does not let any of that go to his head. He works just as hard, regardless of how much they've accomplished or how much success that they have, because he has come up from the very bottom of this coaching profession to where he is now at his alma mater. And so he's a grinder. He's always someone that's fighting for respect, no matter what he achieves. And he lets that come through in the way that he coaches his team. He gets his players motivated to play with a chip on their shoulder, to fight for respect as a program that's, you know, it's a G5 program. And so they always feel like when, especially if they go up against other P5 schools, they're always fighting for that respect, always fighting to be a little bit better than others. And so he is so good at getting his players to play that way. But at the same time, he has fun with them. He gets them to buy into what they're trying to do. And he's someone that is about as easy to work with as you're going to find anywhere in the country. It makes my job a heck of a lot easier knowing that regardless of what happens on the field, he's going to be someone that I'm going to enjoy talking to when we do post-game interviews or coaches shows or what have you. So I feel, and I know the rest of the Mountaineer fan base feels, incredibly blessed to have Scott Satterfield as our head coach.
Absolutely. So having said that, I know he's an alum, but do you ever worry about him leaving because of all the success he's had?
You know, I think the thing that's unique about him is he has such strong ties to the area. And I think anybody would be worried. And I don't know if worried is the right word, because, you know, certainly you want people to achieve their dreams and their goals that they have in their profession. And for any coach, whether it's him or anybody that's moving their way up through the ranks, to be able to achieve the things that they want to achieve for them and their families. And, you know, you want that for people in any walk of life. And so, but for, you know, for Coach Satterfield, he's in a unique position because, he did graduate from the school, but his whole family has strong ties to the high country of North Carolina. His wife, Beth, and his three kids, they have deep roots in Boone, North Carolina. And so not saying that would ever prevent something from happening, but he absolutely loves being in Boone, and he loves Appalachian State. And the other thing too is they continue to build things around that program. There's so much momentum and a snowball effect coming with App State football that, you know, I really feel like they've only scratched the surface of what this program can achieve. And so I think that's what any coach wants, is as long as you feel like you're continuing to grow in where you want, you can continue to achieve more things and do more things with your profession. I think that's what people want regardless of where they are. And so there's a lot of things going for them that make it such an attractive place to be. And I know that they're very happy where they are. I will say this, you know, if you can't prevent other schools from showing interest and certainly making offers. And all that means is that if he and the rest of his staff are getting offers to go other places, that just means the program's having success.
Right.
The defensive coordinator from last year, Nate Woody, is now at Georgia Tech because App State's defense has been unbelievable the last few years. Scott Sloan, who was a defensive assistant and recruiting coordinator, is now a defensive coordinator at Georgia Southern within the conference because he was a great recruiter and he did such great things with the secondary at Appalachian. And so, you know, he and the rest of his staff are going to continue to get looks because of the success. They say, hey, the guys at Appalachian State are doing something right. So we've got to pay attention to them and we've got to give them some looks. And so, yeah, that stuff's going to happen. But the way that I and a lot of others look at it is you can't prevent that stuff from happening. And you hope that it keeps happening because what it means is that you're having success and you're doing things the way that a lot of people want to be doing it.
We know, Adam, one of the reasons for the success is behind the scenes. I think that the AD, Doug Gillen, has done an absolute fantastic job. Can you talk about him?
Yeah, Doug is actually someone that I've known even before coming to App. He and I crossed paths professionally before either of us made our way to Boone. So I've known Doug for a few years, and he's been remarkable to work with. It's what's interesting to me, the way that you can truly get a sense of the way people are and the way that they go about their business and handle themselves and the people that are around is when you talk to the other people that work with him. And the thing that I've found is anybody that you ask in that department about him, they absolutely love working with him. And Doug is somebody that's certainly gotten things done as well. So he's very sharp. He's very experienced. He's got a good business mind about him, and he truly cares about the student athletes. One of the things that I love hearing about is he, and I'm this is not lip service here. This is genuine. He is just as excited about the fact that he can build a brand new end zone facility at Kid Brewer Stadium, or do things to improve the things around the football team from a facility standpoint. He's just as excited about that as he is that he's finally going to build a facility for the field hockey program. The field hockey program, when he came in there, they didn't have a conference. They didn't have, you know, a place to dress and change before and after the game. And one of the things that he's probably most proud of in being there is that he took the field hockey program, which was the first women's sport at Appalachian State, and he got him into the Mid-American Conference, and he was able to raise enough support to build them, a locker room facility at their field just off campus. So he truly cares about the student athletes across every sport. And that's one of the things that I and a lot of others admire about him. But he's also accomplished so much, with football as well. In facilities, with scheduling. We've had some incredible home games and more to come. I mean, getting home games scheduled with Miami and Wake Forest, an upcoming series that'll feature home games with East Carolina and North Carolina and South Carolina. Those things mean so much to the program, and it's one of the reasons why things just continue to build at App State. And so the leadership across the programs, the leadership in the athletics department, it all plays into to the way that things are just continuing to move in the right direction up in Boone.
Well, with a couple minutes we have left, I wanted to ask you about, as far as the team is concerned, on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, how are things? I know you talked about the number of there are not a lot of seniors on the team, but how are things looking on offense?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that most people want to talk about with the offense with App is what's going to happen at the quarterback position.
Right.
They, you know, a Mount Rushmore quarterback in Taylor Lamb is no longer with the program. He's graduated after setting records and winning and doing historical things with him and the rest of the class that he came in with. So the quarterback position is certainly one that we're going to see a new face for the first time in a while. Zach Thomas is a rising sophomore who is going to take over the reins. It's his job at the beginning of the season. He's an impressive young man. Everything that we've heard about him is he's got the skill set to do it. He's got a strong arm. He's quick. He's got the right skill set to be able to run the offense that, that Appalachian has. You know, the one thing that you just don't know is he hasn't taken any meaningful snaps yet. And he certainly will in that first game against Penn State. So it kind of remains to be seen what happens there, but the coaches certainly feel they've got the right guy for the job to step in at that position and be successful. And the thing about it is, whether it's Taylor or Zach or whoever the quarterback is, they never really ask the quarterback to do too much because there's so much talent around him. I mean, Appalachian, for as good of a quarterback as Taylor Lamb was, they're a team that always wants to have success running the ball first, with a good solid offensive line, dynamic backs, utilizing receivers and the quarterback in the running game as well. And so they've got a guy in Jalen Moore who is 2 years ago was the Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, preseason first team all Sun Belt running back in the backfield. He's an NFL caliber back. And so if he can be healthy, that's a huge asset to the offense. At wide receiver, I feel like they've got as talented of a group of wide receivers as they've had since Scott Satterfield's been the head coach at Appalachian. It's chock full of youth and speed and more size this year. There's a guy that people are going to get to know this year who's a transfer from Kansas State named Corey Sutton. Just totally looks the part and a dynamic talent who they're adding to the receiving core along with so many other young players that were productive last year. Offensive line is another area where there's some question marks because the right side of that offensive line was a couple of four-year starters who are now in the NFL. So at right guard and right tackle, they're breaking in two new offensive linemen. But again, they've recruited at such a high level, especially up front, that there's going to be some younger guys coming in there that are super talented. We just have to see how they gel. So offense, I think things are looking good. We'll have to see how things play out with some new faces there. Defense, it's all about speed. I mean, there's so much speed and so much depth on the defensive side of the ball. In the secondary, you've got two of the best corners in the conference in Clifton Duck and Tay Hayes. Up front, they rotate so much with so much speed and talent up front on the defensive line in the 3-4 alignment. At linebacker, they're replacing two productive guys, Devin Stringer and Eric Boggs, who have played for 4 years and have been just leaders of that defense. So they've got some guys that need to step up into those roles, but they have someone in the middle of that defense, and Anthony Florey, who's kind of ready to take his turn in being the leader of that defense and have a breakout season. So I feel good about the way that things are coming together, the talent that they have in place, despite not having a ton of seniors on this roster. But I think the seniors that are there are going to provide the right leadership. You know, you just got to kind of see how it all blends together, because you can plug guys in who are talented, but it's all got to work together as one. And that's what they're going to try to figure out when they start camp here in about a week from today. As of this recording, they report for fall camp a week from today. So it's exciting. I think that this team's got certainly the capability to be as good, if not better, than last year when they won the league in another bowl game. But there's some younger players and some new faces that they're going to have to break in and see how it all comes together.
Well, Adam, I certainly could talk hours and hours about football and Appalachian State, but I know that you've been generous with your time. Good luck to you guys, the Mountaineers, going up to Happy Valley. Maybe they can pull off a win like they did in the Big House in 2007. That would be a great start for the college football season.
We would certainly take it. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
A lot of fun there with Adam. I'll tell you what, a great team. You got to love Scott Satterfield and all the folks at Appalachian State, and we want to give a shout out to them. And I know that their AD is doing a lot of great stuff. Doug Gillen, right, is his name?
Right. Yes. He came there from Missouri. He'd been the assistant AD, I believe, at Missouri. So yeah, he's done a really nice job. Scheduled some nice series and made some other significant upgrades as well. I know they're getting the track out from around their football stadium, which will, I mean, they already have an excellent atmosphere at Kid Brewer Stadium. And they call it the Rock. And I was able to attend last year, I guess, two ball games, that Wake Forest first ever trip to the High Country.
Oh, wow.
Which was a really great ball game. Unfortunately, Appalachian State came up on the short end. went up and down the field, ran for a lot of yards, but then just couldn't punch it in the red zone, excuse me, and then had a field goal that was blocked, I believe, there. And then what they had an opportunity to kick it again because they recovered it. Right, Kyle? Is that it?
They got to kick it twice. They kicked it on third down.
Right.
I don't remember. Maybe it was a penalty and then the next one was blocked. I don't remember exactly, but I remember they got to kick it twice and missed the
ball. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, those things happen and it hurts when you're, that particular case, a Mountaineer fan. But, that is unfortunately part of the game, whether we like it or not, right? We've seen that a lot with our Pirates. I know that. Another great guest. You were talking about, let's go to him, since we've got a number of guests tonight. With Arkansas State, they're another one of the big favorites. I know Bubba's Matt Stoles, right?
Right. He's the voice of the Red Wolves, and very, very interesting interview, and I know our listeners are going to really enjoy this conversation with Matt.
All right, let's go to Matt right now.
One of my favorite conferences we're actually going to review now, and they actually in the FBS, and that is the Sun Belt Conference. With us now, Arkansas State, the Red Wolves play-by-play announcer, and that would be for the Sun Belt, and that is Matt Stoles. Matt, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Hey, Dave, great to be with you.
Like I said, the Sun Belt, I think, is one of the most underrated conferences. Of course, in North Carolina, we know Appalachian State very well, and I know the Troys of the world, and you guys have been tremendous over the years, especially the last few. Wanted to bring you on to tell everybody a little bit about not only the Sun Belt, but obviously this particular case, Arkansas State.
Yeah, Arkansas State has had a lot of success over the last 7 years, seven consecutive winning seasons, and that's the first time that that's happened in program history. Been a span where the Red Wolves have won five conference championships in the last 7 years. So a lot of success. And really, you look back at those five conference championships, none of those years had Arkansas State ever been picked to win the conference. For some reason, it was somebody else, whether it be a Louisiana Lafayette or an Appalachian State or a Troy that was picked those years. But five times in the last 7 years, the Red Wolves have been able to win the conference championship regardless. Now, this year is a little bit different. The Red Wolves have high expectations, not only from within, but from the outside, too. For the first time ever, they were actually picked to win the conference by the Sun Belt coaches here in the last couple of weeks. So, there are a lot of expectations. This, however, is a year that the Red Wolves feel they can do some big things.
I know you've got to be. It's obviously someone who's announced at the high school level for sure on the radio. It's very easy when we have a high school team that's very good and going to contending for state championships year after year. So it's a lot easier when you're doing a game and you have a team that's a winner like you do with Arkansas State. I know it's got to be a lot easier for you. I know you prepare the same way, but it definitely has to feel good when you're calling a game and the team that you're calling for is winning on a consistent basis.
Yeah, it's always good when you're winning. The fans certainly enjoy it a lot more. Us as broadcasters, we enjoy it as well. But you're going to go through good times and bad times. This is a Arkansas State program that certainly went through some growing pains for many years. They became a FBS team back in 1992. The 90s were rough. A good part of the 2000s were rough. They did win the conference championship for the first time back in 2005, but, some sub-500 records in the years to follow. And really, the culture changed once Hugh Freeze became the head coach back in 2011. He had been the offensive coordinator under Steve Roberts the year before at Arkansas State. So he was actually in Jonesboro for 2 years. But Hugh Freeze came in and really started a winning culture in 2011. Of course, he exited and went to Ole Miss after that 2011 season. Gus Malzahn came into Arkansas State and was able to have a great year in 2012 before going back to Auburn to become their head coach. Brian Harsin came in 2013. He was able to win a conference championship before going to Boise State. And now this is the fifth year of the Blake Anderson era at Arkansas State. He's done a fantastic job just keeping that tradition going. And, you know, he's a guy that you're going to hear his name more and more, you know, this year and in the years to come. He's another guy kind of like a Hugh Freeze or a Gus Malzahn that is a very offensive-minded, up-and-coming head coach. And, you know, he's done some fantastic things and has really done a good job just establishing the culture at Arkansas State.
I was going to ask that very question about the culture. It makes a big difference when you have, it was like a coaching carousel, for lack of a better term, and then you have Blake Anderson there. So do you think if he has wins another championship, do you see him going to another conference or another school, or do you think he would stay here? I know it's hard to really know, right?
Yeah, his name will be in the mix for sure. And you know, obviously when you look at those other names that have been at Arkansas State and have gone on to have success at other places, like Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn, and Brian Harsin, Blake Anderson is a guy that can certainly win anywhere he goes. And he, you know, preaches faith, family, and fun, and that's definitely something he's lived up to, kind of his mantra here at Arkansas State. His players love playing for him and got some great coaches on his staff. And he's a guy that, you know, yes, if they do what they're expected to do this year, you're going to start hearing his name come up for some other jobs.
I wanted to ask you, he's doing a great job, obviously, there at Arkansas State. Can you break down the team for us on the offensive side of the ball first?
Well, offensively, this is going to be a very, very fun team to watch. And they were up there in the top 10 in the nation in a lot of categories last year in the FBS. And we should have one of the better receiving corps in the entire country this year. A lot of size, a lot of athletic ability. We have an Oklahoma transfer by the name of Dahu Green that is really going to turn a lot of heads this year. Bubba Akpabor is a Boise State transfer that's come in, and you throw them in the mix with you know, guys like Kendrick Edwards and Justin McInnes, who were all conference caliber players a year ago. Omar Bayless, who makes one highlight reel catch after another. So we have a very, very talented receiving core. Kirk Merritt is a transfer who started at Texas A&M. He's now here at Arkansas State. He's kind of a hybrid that will line up in the backfield. We'll also see him in the slot. He's a very good player that, you know, we've kind of thrown into the mix as well. And Warren Wand is a first-team all-conference running back. He's a little bitty guy, 5'5", but strong, some really big legs, and you know, just can make a big play at any moment. And then, you know, the guy that really stands out the most is our quarterback. And Justice Hansen is a guy that started his career at Oklahoma. He competed as a freshman for the starting job with Baker Mayfield. Obviously, Baker Mayfield went on to win a Heisman Trophy and have a fantastic career. And Justice he transferred, played 1 year of junior college ball. And now he's going to be starting for the third year here at Arkansas State. And just a fantastic young man. He broke last year as a junior the school and the Sun Belt Conference records for passing touchdowns in a single season. And he's back this year, and he's a guy that's worked tremendously hard in the offseason. You're going to see his name a lot. He's expected to put up some big-time numbers. And, you know, even with the record-breaking numbers he put up last year, he's got an even better receiving core to work with this year. And four of the five offensive linemen from a season ago are back. So this offense is expected to do some very, very big things in 2018.
Absolutely, and you definitely will be. There's a reason why the coaches picked you guys, and I guess you've gone from the hunters to the hunted for sure. For the defensive side of the ball, how are things looking this year?
Well, we lose three first-team all-conference guys. One was on the defensive line, our defensive end, Javon Roland Jones, who actually just missed breaking the career record in the FBS for sacks. He was a half sack behind Terrell Suggs, who had the all-time FBS mark for career sacks and just missed out on that record. So he's a guy that had 13 sacks a year ago. We're going to miss him up front. Also, missing a first-team all-league linebacker in Kyle Wilson, who is now with the Eagles, and Blaze Taylor, who was a first-team all-conference, not only corner, but punt returner. He graduated as well. So you got some big holes to fill. At the same time, Arkansas State has really been known for their defensive lines over the years, and they've had a lot of NFL-caliber players come through, and they've done that with a lot of depth. Even losing a guy like Javon Roland Jones, there's a lot of guys like a Ron Heen Bingham who is expected to do big things this year at the defensive end spot that can kind of step up and fill that role. And then we've got, some really good guys in the secondary. We look good at safety. There's a little bit of a question mark going in to camp as far as corner goes, graduating a couple of corners from a season ago, but I think they like the talent there, and hopefully those guys are able to kind of step up and fill those roles.
I wanted to ask you about, I'm a scheduling nerd, if you will, and I wanted to ask, we know about the who's in the conference, but as far as the non-conference, how do you guys start out your first game, and can you give us your non-conference schedule?
Yeah, the four non-conference games are the first four games for the Red Wolves, and they've kind of scheduled that way purposely over the last several years and leading up to conference play in week five. But they'll start off with an FCS opponent at home in Southeast Missouri. Then week two, you have the toughest test of the year at Alabama. Then week three, you go to Tulsa, which should be a really good measuring stick game for the Red Wolves. And then, week four, you're back home to wrap up non-conference play against UNLV. So it's a good non-conference schedule. It's one that, the Red Wolves and their fans look at. They see if they come out of it with a winning record, a 3-1 mark going into league play, you're probably going to be favored in every conference game that you play. So I think when you look at that non-conference schedule, it's a good test. Obviously, Alabama in week two, the biggest of them all, but it'll be interesting to kind of see how the Red Wolves stack up.
You're making me shaking my boots just thinking about the Crimson Tide, but you guys have got a winning tradition going there now and on a nice roll. I wanted to ask you about those of us that have never been to Jonesboro, to Arkansas State, can you give us a little inside scoop as far as the facilities are concerned?
Well, the facilities are best in the league, and I know there's a lot of schools that are adding on and doing some big things. But here in the past few years, we've added a press box and 20 suites, a club area that is right there with most any school in the Power Five. It is extremely nice, and now we're completing, and hopefully it'll be ready for the start of the season, a North End Zone project that includes our new football offices in the North End Zone. But, in front of that, you've got club seating in that North End Zone. You have a water feature, which there's going to be rocks and kind of a waterfall on either side of the club area. It's going to be unique and unlike any setting in college football. But this is a $30 million project. It's all private, privately raised funds. It's something that is really going to stand out. I can't wait to see it. That they're working around the clock to try to get it finished. But the facilities at Arkansas State, and they here in the last 5 years, have added a new indoor facility as well. So it's really a special time, and so much of it has come, since 2011, when the Red Wolves won that first conference championship and began this run of five conference championships in 7 years.
Well, Matt, I hope that you guys can continue the run this year. I love the Sun Belt. I'm not just saying that. I really do. The play of football is tremendous, and I hope good luck to you this season. And I tell you what, hopefully we can catch up with you in the middle of the season to see how things are going in conference play.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have Matt on with us. And, Bubba, I know that Arkansas State and Kyle, they've been tremendous, and good luck to them. They have been they've had a lot of great, as we talked about, a lot of great coaches, and their buyout now is big time, right?
Yeah, their buyout for Blake Anderson is huge. They had to do it. They lost Gus Malzahn. They lost
Hugh Freeze.
Thank you. Couldn't think of his name.
And Brian Arson.
Yeah. And when you lose coach after coach after coach in succeeding years, one after another, three straight years, if I remember right, or at least it was three
right.
straight years.
Yeah, in 2010, they had a coaching change, and then 11, 12, and 13, they had one coach a year, and then Blake Anderson's now going into year five. So looking from 2010 to 2014, I guess they had five head coaches in 5 years.
Is that same athletic director still there that made all those hires?
I believe so.
I'm not 100% on that.
Well, if he is, my God, he has done a hell of a job with hires. I know they've had a lot of good facility upgrades to their football stadium over the years. So whoever the AD or ADs have been there have done a hell of a job in Jonesboro. You guys want to pick the divisions?
Let's go ahead and pick the divisions, and then we can pick a winner and move on to the SEC.
Okay, they're going to the divisions this year, going to have a championship game. I'm going to pick Troy in the East. I think you got to with what they got coming back and the kind of year they had last year. Huge season opener with Boise State this Saturday in Troy. I'll take Appalachian State second. Again, I think you have to. After that, it kind of gets a little clustered there.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take Georgia State after that, followed by Georgia Southern, and then Coastal Carolina to finish last in the East. And then over in the West division of the Sun Belt,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Monroe to win the West. I think they've got so many pieces coming back. Monroe's going to be your surprise, and they're going to win the West. Arkansas State will finish second in the West. Then followed after that by I guess you got to go Louisiana, Lafayette, or just University of Louisiana, whatever they prefer to be called these days, the Raging Cajun. I'll take them and then round out the league. Texas State, and then I'll put South Alabama. They're going to have a first-year head coach. I'll put them last in the West.
All right, what you got, Bubba?
I was going to say in the East, I really think it's going to come down. I think the East will be decided when – Troy makes the trip to Boone. I guess it's November 24th, so what, Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a heck of a ball game. And really, at this point, with Taylor Lamb being gone and Troy returning so much, I think I'd take the Trojans, but I could really see that going either way. And then the West, I'm going to take Arkansas State. They've been pretty consistent under Blake Anderson, so I like the Red Wolves to win the West. And then as far as finishing second, I do like Kyle's pick. I know he picked ULM to win it, but I think they will finish second. Third, I'd say, is probably going to be the Raging Cajuns. And then South Alabama, followed by Everett Withers and Texas State. They've had consecutive 2-10 seasons, and he really – needs to have a good year. And of course, a lot of people may remember he was a finalist or in the running for the ECU job prior to us hiring Scotty Montgomery.
Yeah, Comfer had a bunch of great candidates. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and take Troy to win that Sun Belt championship, beat Monroe, and win the championship.
Yeah, as much as I like Appalachian State, it's just something's telling me, I don't know, my heart, even because being a North Carolina team, would be, I would say, Appalachian State and what they've done
love their coach, AD, love Boone, love every the atmosphere, just the whole nine yards. But my brain is telling me to go with Troy, so I'm going to go with Troy all the way.
So you're going to take Troy to win the championship? Yes. Bubba, who do you like in the championship game? You got Troy and Arkansas State playing for it. Who you taking to win it?
I would say definitely Troy. Neil Brown, it'll be interesting to see the type of looks he gets. Obviously been at UK as offensive coordinator prior to being at Troy and after going 4-8 in his first season. And just by the way that they had gone 3-9 the year prior to him getting hired. So they went 4-8 in year one, but then the last 2 years they've gone 10-3 and 11-2. So he's certainly on a lot of AD's radars, and Neil Brown, you know, could very well be coaching somewhere else come 2019.
Yeah, there'll be SEC and Big 12 schools all over him. I won't speculate about where he could go, but it'll be SEC, Big 12.
But one other thing before we move on from the Sun Belt, guys. Of course, Coastal Carolina, they had moved up prior to last season.
Right.
And when you look at Coastal Carolina, you have Joe Mobley going into his sixth year.
Interesting man.
Yeah, very interesting story there. I had the opportunity a few years ago, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years now, to hear him speak at the Nike clinic in Charlotte. Very entertaining and very engaging, just like you would expect with his successful track record in business as well as coaching. You could certainly see him being successful in whatever he does, and it's no surprise that he made that transition back to coaching
seamlessly.
But Joe Mobley had a miss last season due to some medical reasons. So just prayers with him, and hopefully he's in good health now, and we'll have a good season with the Chanticleers.
Yeah, and their interim head coach, I thought did a nice job. I think. Tough to transition. Their record wasn't very good, but he had them in a lot of games, including almost upsetting, was it Arkansas?
Yeah, they had, I think against Arkansas, they had maybe a 17 or 21-point lead, yeah. And Arkansas won 39-38.
You know, it's funny with Joe Mobley. He may be the most wealthy coach in college football, and he is at a Sun Belt school. It's insane. If you took a survey and said, well, who's the richest college football coach? Most people would probably say Nick Saban, but no, it's probably not. It's probably Coastal Carolina State coach.
And Kyle, speaking of Nick Saban from Alabama, I know that we said that we were going to have an SEC Sun Belt preview, but man, we've between all our great guests and we've got it going long, don't you think? But we wanted to give the Sun Belt, which we think is a very underrated conference, they're due, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Might as well just leave it here and let them have their own preview. They're a great conference. They can stand on their own 2 feet. They don't need the SEC to carry it. So, yeah, we'll just end it here with a Sun Belt preview and maybe include the SEC with another Power 5 conference preview.
We can have a whole Power 5. We can do a Power 5 preview or two Power 5 previews, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good idea and kind of just let the belt stand on its own feet.
Yeah, that sounds good. I wanted to mention that I know we've got, and let's not, for folks, don't forget, we've got a lot of archive shows. And normally, Kyle and Bubba can tell you, right, guys, we normally do 2 to 3 shows a week. But we've been doing so many previews that we've had to put out a whole bunch of content. If not, it would not be relevant. So we've been working really hard around the clock, believe it or not, right?
Yeah, and we're going to try our best. Get the rest of these conference previews out. Hopefully before the weekend's over. I know we wanted to get them all out before the game started this week. It just hadn't worked out that way. But we got as many as we could out. And, it's just week one, guys. You know, if we don't get it all out by Saturday, you know, the season's long.
On, yeah.
And they're still relevant. And we got a lot to come. We'll be doing a lot more East Carolina-focused content. Obviously, with the season starting coming up, but we got to get the rest of these conference previews done.
That's right, and we're also going to have, if you're an East Carolina fan, then be sure to listen to After the Game. We'll have a podcast for that, and we'll have at least After the Game every week for football, and we're going to have a preview show, at least that every week, at the very minimum, right, guys?
Absolutely.
So don't forget to listen out. By the way, if you haven't done so, please like us on Facebook. We have more people doing that now. And one thing, thanks to Bubba and Kyle for all the promoting they've been doing, and I've been trying as well. Also, follow us on Twitter. It's very easy. It's at TheSportsOBJ, and you can obviously follow us on Instagram too, and that's at The Sports Objective. But we're on social media. We're working harder to improve that, right, guys? That's something that we, especially now that we're in season, there's more to talk about.
Yeah, hopefully, Bubba, we can take the time for the three of us at some point to write some articles on the Facebook page there for The Sports Objective. And talk a little college football and kind of keep up with these conference races that we're previewing in season.
And that's something that we're all three of us going to do, because we actually are a team on the podcast. And there won't be like necessarily any rhyme or reason. If we have a story or something we want to cover, we'll write it up and put it up there and post it, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a journal.
Definitely. That's right. You may see all three of us write something in one day, or you may see one article a week. It's just going to kind of be how it flows. And, guys, tonight, before we get off here and close this podcast out, the Sun Belt's already began play. Georgia State had a come-from-behind victory over Kennesaw State. We talked about that game earlier in the podcast about how Kennesaw had a chance to win that one, and Georgia State gets the Vic late, and Monroe and Southeastern Louisiana are in a tight one. So the Sun Belt play has begun.
And I can't wait for the season. And, guys, I want to thank you again. There's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes, and I don't think people realize that from all three of us. And it makes me feel proud, because when we started in March, I had no idea, like I said early on, that like with Kyle, I said that in the Pirate preview. It feels like it's been – you said that, I know, but it feels like it's been a lot longer than – in March when we started the podcast, and you came on a lot and a regular contributor and now a co-host, and then Bubba, you've come along, and man, you made Kyle and I a lot better, right, Kyle?
Absolutely. Bubba is the guest scheduling wizard.
He is going to camp out in your lawn until you say yes.
Yeah. I appreciate the kind words, and say I certainly enjoyed doing the podcast with you guys, and look forward to all the future holds. And something else, while you were talking about our social media, also give us a follow or subscribe to our Sports Objective YouTube channel. That's what – not a lot of content on there yet. We do have a few videos up. But this weekend we'll bring you some things from the Pirate game day, especially for you out-of-towners that aren't able to get to Greenville this weekend. Try to get you some footage of the Southside Project and maybe like the Pirate Walk and some of the game day traditions that the fans love, such as the new intro video that's been hyped up an awful lot.
And there's going to be another Speedo guarantee, because even though it's Labor Day weekend, there's going to be no Speedo with Kyle. So I can guarantee that, right, Kyle?
Absolutely, and I'm sure all the Sun Belt fans out there will enjoy hearing about the East Carolina game day experience.
Well, you know what? That's our local team, and people will love East Carolina, and they love the Sun Belt, or people that are maybe Sun Belt fans, they can learn more about East Carolina. So, anyway, guys, let's put the podcast to bed, and we'll tuck it in, and we'll say good night. And don't forget, the next few days, a lot of content out, especially over the next week. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber, Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time, as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.